Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Everyone, and welcome to episode 95 of the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I just have two quick announcements before I get into the main part of the podcast. Firstly, thank you to Dr. Samuel K from China for leaving me a review. I really appreciate that. That's great. And of course, if anyone else would like to leave me a review, that would be great too. But he said it was an excellent podcast, and I'm glad that he's enjoying it. The second thing is, you know, I'm collecting information about resources for people who want to improve their business English, and today I'm looking for blogs. So if you know of a blog that you enjoy reading that helps you to improve your business English, please let me know about it, either by sending me an email to Kirsty, K-I-R-S-T-Y, at englishwithkirsty.com, or by using the contact form on the show notes page for this episode, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode95. And also, if you want to get the PDF that goes along with today's podcast, that's where you can get it. So englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode95 is where you will get the list of today's idioms I'm going to talk about and some examples of how to use them as well. So today's episode is another idioms episode, because they seem to go down quite well, like things that we say, expressions that are on a specific topic. And today's topic is something that I love to talk about anyway. Anyone who has followed any of my blogs or Facebook or whatever, any social media channels, will know that I love dogs. Dogs are great. My favourite dog is the Golden Retriever. And when I was talking to one of my students a couple of weeks ago, she asked a question about an idiom to do with dogs, and I answered the question, but then I thought about it, and we do have quite a few dog idioms, so I decided to do a podcast about them. So as I said, if you want further information about these idioms, then you can get the handout that goes with today's episode by requesting it on the show notes page. But otherwise, I'm just going to go through a number of idioms that have something to do with dogs. Some of these are more well known than others, but I thought I'd give you them anyway, and then you can go through and see which ones you know, see which ones are new. So we have 16 in total. So the first one is, someone's bark is worse than their bite. So his or her bark is worse than his or her bite. And so this means that somebody who is maybe has a reputation for being quite fierce or quite difficult, but actually they're not as bad as all that. You know, they may say a lot, but they will help you. They may complain, but they will still get it done. Or they may be known as somebody that is quite scary, but you know, they're quite a good person in truth. So if someone's bark is worse than their bite, they're like one of these dogs that, you know, when you go past, keep barking and barking, but they won't actually bite you. You know, they're actually quite friendly. They just like to bark a lot. And some people like to bark a lot as well. They just, figuratively, not literally, but, you know, that they'll maybe say a lot of things, but in the end, they will be good to you or help you out. So that's someone's bark is worse than their bite. So number two is, something's gone to the dogs. I don't really like this expression because I don't understand it, but it is one that comes up, and it just means that something's gone bad. It's not as good as it used to be. Maybe like a restaurant has gone to the dogs since the new management took over. It used to be really good, but now it's horrible food. It's just not nice. So if something's gone to the dogs, it means it's really gone down. It's not as good as it used to be. It's not good. Number three is, let sleeping dogs lie. So I guess this is when we were talking about, like, in the old days, dogs were used for guarding. So if a dog's asleep, don't wake it up. It might bite you. So I think this is more about, you know, guard dogs. If the dog is asleep, then don't provoke it. Don't wake it up. And this is more, you know, don't start a conversation about something that is has already, you know, we're not talking about that, we're not dealing with that at the moment. Don't start something that could cause an argument or a bad feeling, or, you know, nobody's talking about it. Let's just move on and not have that conversation, or not say that thing that would cause a lot of trouble. Let's just leave it and move on. So that's let sleeping dogs lie. Number four, I have no idea how this came into being, but hair of the dog. If somebody had too much to drink last night and they feel terrible, with a they're hungover and they feel awful, they have a headache and just feel generally miserable, and they have a drink, that's the hair of the dog. And it originally comes from hair of the dog that bit you. I have no idea why, but hair of the dog is a drink after you've had too much to drink and you feel hungover. Very bizarre English language. Number five is barking up the wrong tree. And I guess you have an image here of a dog sitting at the bottom of a tree barking because it thinks the cat that it was chasing has gone up the tree or something like that, or some other small animal, and it's barking because it's annoyed that the animal has gone up the tree and it wants to chase it, but it can't go up the tree. But if you're barking up the wrong tree, you've got the wrong idea. Maybe you've accused the wrong person of doing something, or you've got the wrong idea about something, and everything you're saying is kind of irrelevant because you haven't understood something important. So in the case of accusing the wrong person, you know, you're going after this person, but you don't know that it wasn't actually them that did the thing. Then you're barking up the wrong tree. You've misunderstood the situation, and everything that you're saying now, because the barking is like what you're saying, is wrong because you didn't really understand what happened. So you're barking up the wrong tree. Number six, this is also a strange one. The tail that wags the dog. The tail that wags the dog. So normally, obviously, it's the dog that wags the tail, because the dog wags its tail when it's happy, mostly. But if you have a tail wagging the dog, it's something or someone that's really kind of small and not so important, but that has a lot of power to control the whole thing. So like in an organization, you can have someone that maybe isn't in a position of power, but they are powerful. Maybe they know a terrible secret, and therefore everybody does what they want. But the tail that wags the dog is something or someone that's kind of small and insignificant, but that has a lot of power. And it's kind of this image that the tail is making the whole dog wag rather than the dog making the tail wag, which is the way that it should be. So it's a strange image, but it kind of makes sense when you break it down. Number seven, if someone is like a dog with a bone. So if a dog gets a bone, it wants to chomp and chomp on it to get all the goodness out. It's not good to give your dogs bones, really, because they can break off. And anyway, a dog with a bone, I think it's the cooked ones that you mustn't give them, isn't it? Because then they shatter more easily. But anyway, if a dog has a bone, it's going to keep chewing away at it and then not want to give it up for anyone, not want to give it up till it's finished. And if you're a dog with a bone, you have something that you want to talk about, or that you want to find out, or something that's really interesting you, and you're going to keep on and on with it until you get what you want or get the result you want. Maybe somebody wants to nag someone else to do something, and the second person doesn't really want to, but the other person keeps on and on like a dog with a bone until the other person finally gives in. Or maybe it's like you want to find out what happened, and you're not going to rest until you found out what happened in a certain situation. And again, you're like a dog with a bone because you pursue every possible lead and every bit of information until you find out what actually happened. So it's not always a negative thing, but it just means somebody is being really persistent and they won't give up until they've done what they set out to do, or found out what they wanted to find out. Number eight, again, I don't really like this, but it exists, so I'm gonna cover it. It's a dog eat dog world. So yeah, dogs, I don't think dogs really eat each other, do they? But the point is, it's here, it means everybody's only out for themselves. It's like survival of the fittest. You only do what's going to be beneficial to you, what's going to help you, and you don't think about the other people or how your actions will affect them, because all you're interested is in yourself, what's good for you, because it's a dog-eat-dog world and everyone just has to look out for themselves. Not a good way to live. Number nine, I only discovered this one recently, but I thought it was quite amusing, so I included it. Why have a dog and bark yourself? Why have a dog and bark yourself? Okay, so people don't bark, generally. But the point here is, you know, if you paying somebody to do something, then you shouldn't do their job for them. You shouldn't do it yourself. You know, like sometimes people get someone to pay someone to clean their house for a couple of hours a week. And then before the house cleaner comes, they go around tidying up and cleaning things. Like, why? You're paying someone else to do that. Or if you pay someone to do the garden for you and you start doing it yourself, then you don't really need to pay the other person to do it because you're doing it yourself. Or, you know, you should just let them get on with the job that they are there to do. So a dog's job is to bark. You don't need to bark yourself. So basically what it's saying is, you know, don't micromanage people. If someone's job is to do the gardening for you, then let them do it. Don't try to do other people's jobs for them. Number 10, I nearly didn't include this because I don't know any English people that say it, but all the people that I know that are learning English seem to have heard of this expression. So the real reason I'm including this is to say it's not something we say all the time. I think it's become popular because it's a bizarre image to imagine, like raining cats and dogs, because that's what we're talking about here. But I don't know any English people that actually use this phrase, it's raining cats and dogs, to mean it's raining really heavily. So you will see it in a lot of idiom lists, a lot of books, and a lot of people learn this who are learning English. But just to point out, it does exist, but it's really not that common. I think it's just become quite popular because it's very strange to imagine raining cats and dogs coming from the sky. But yeah, that's what it means. It's very heavy rain. Number 12. I said there were 16 of these, but there are actually 15. To be sick as a dog just means to be very sick. I don't know why sick as a dog. Maybe a dog that's eaten something that it shouldn't have, possibly. But yeah, sick as a dog just means very sick. As in being sick, not being unwell. Sick in the terms of, in the idea that someone's vomiting, not just feeling very unwell. Dog in a manger, that comes from an old story, one of Aesop's fables, where there was a dog in a manger. So the manger you may have heard about because of the Christmas story, but the manger is basically the trough where you put the animal food, the hay for the animals that eat hay. And in this story there was a dog lying in the manger. He couldn't eat the hay because dogs don't eat hay, but he thought it was comfortable, so he was lying there in the manger. He could have been anywhere else. He could have made himself a nice bed on the straw, but instead he chose to lie in the manger, which is the animal, the food trough for the other animals. And that wasn't fair, because if the dog was lying in the manger, then the other animals couldn't get their food. So basically, it's somebody doing something or taking something that's of no benefit to them, and in doing so, they are preventing other people from getting the benefit from it. So it's people going out of their way to inconvenience other people by doing something which doesn't benefit them at all. So they're being a dog in the manger, because they're preventing the other people from, like in the picture, preventing the other animals from getting their food, even though the dog doesn't eat this food. So it's quite a selfish thing to do, to be a dog in a manger. To be in the doghouse, I don't know what the doghouse is. I mean, a kennel is a place outside where dogs can live, but if you're in the doghouse, you're basically in trouble. You're unpopular. You've done something wrong. You are... I don't know, you're late again, you've missed dinner and you're in the doghouse because, yeah, you're in trouble with someone. Doghouse is only really used in this idiom because normally we talk about, if it's a place outside for a dog, that's a kennel. But yeah, in the doghouse uses this word, doghouse. If you rub someone up the wrong way, this isn't really about dogs, but it's the same idea. If you stroke a dog from tail to snout, the opposite way in which the fur lies, it's uncomfortable. They don't like it. So if you rub someone up the wrong way, it's like you're brushing them against the natural way that the fur lies. People don't have fur, but it's doing something that will kind of irritate them. Like it irritates a dog if you brush the fur up the wrong way. So to rub someone up the wrong way isn't specifically to do with dogs, but it's using this image of a dog or a cat. I don't think cats particularly like it either, that where you brush the fur the wrong way to make it stand up, and that's kind of annoying. And it's the same with people. If you rub them up the wrong way, you do something that's annoying to them. And the last one, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. This basically means that if someone's old or if someone's used to doing something in a certain way, you can't teach them to do something else or differently. And I don't know about this, because I think older dogs are still quite smart and they can learn. But the idea behind this is if the dog's already old, you can't teach him something new. And it's sometimes used for people who don't want to learn something new, like, oh, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You know, this person's been doing something this way for years and years and years, and now they can't learn anything else. Which isn't true, I don't think, because people can always learn. But I think it's more saying that somebody isn't willing to learn, or they don't have the capacity to learn something that's new or different. So there are 15 idioms. I'm sorry I said there were 16. There are not, because one was in there twice. So there are 15 dog idioms. I'll just go through them all quickly again. So we have someone's bark is worse than their bite. Something has gone to the dogs. Let sleeping dogs lie. Hair of the dog. Barking up the wrong tree. The tail that wags the dog. Like a dog with a bone. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Why keep a dog and bark yourself? Raining cats and dogs. Sick as a dog. Dog in a manger. In the doghouse. Rub someone up the wrong way. And you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So if you want the PDF with the explanations and examples of these, then you need to go to the show notes page and request it there, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode95. I hope that was useful. Let me know if you are a dog lover, then let me know if you have a dog, what your favourite breed of dog is. I love talking about dogs. You can leave a comment on the show notes page, and have a good week and have fun learning English. Episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.